Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Sita Preeti Mataji to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving us your valuable association and time. So now I would like to request, I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much everyone for giving me this opportunity. Please excuse me if I go somewhere wrong and please correct me where you feel. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirai Nashtakayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtike Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Namo Pankaja Nabhaya Namo Pankaja Malini Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 22, Prithu Maharaj meeting with the four Kumaras, text 11. व्यालालयद्रुमा वैष्वरिक्ताखिलसम्पदः यद्ग्रहास्तीर्थपादाय पादतीर्था विवर्जिता. मीनिङ्ग् व्याल विनमिस् सर्वन्स् आलाय होम् द्रुमः ट्री वै सर्टन्ली तेषु इन् इन् दोस् हौसेस् अर्किता अबेण्डेण्ट्ली अखिला आल् Sampada, opulences, yet that, graha, houses, tirtha padaya, in relation with the feet of great saintly persons, pada tirtha, the water which washed the feet, vivarjita, without. Translation. On the contrary, even though full of all opulences and material prosperity, any householder's house where the devotees of the Lord are never allowed to come in, and where there is no water for washing their feet, is to be considered a tree in which all venomous serpents live. So put in this mode, the word Tirthapadaya indicates the devotees of Lord Vishnu or Vaishnavas. As far as Brahmanas are concerned, in the previous verse, the mode of perception has been already described. Now in this verse, special stress is being given to the Vaishnavas. Generally, the sannyasis or those in the renounced order of life take trouble to enlighten the householders. There are Ekdandi sannyasis and Tridandi sannyasis. The Ekdandi sannyasis are generally followers of Shankaracharya and are known as Mayavadi sannyasis, whereas the Tridandi sannyasis are followers of Vaishnava acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Madhavacharya, and so on. And they take trouble to enlighten the householders. Ekdandi sannyasis can be situated on the platform of pure Brahman because they are aware that the spirit soul is different from the body, but they are mainly impersonalists. The Vaishnavas know that the absolute truth is the supreme person and that the Brahman effulgence is based on the supreme personality of Godhead as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14.27. Brahmanohi Pratisthanam. The conclusion is that Tirthapadaya refers to Vaishnavas. In the Bhagavatam 1.13.10, there is also another reference, Tirtha Kuruvanti Tirthani. Wherever he goes, a Vaishnava immediately makes the place a Tirtha, a place of pilgrimage. The Vaishnavas, sannyasis, travel all over the world to make every place a pilgrimage by the touch of the lotus feet. It is mentioned here that any house which does not receive a Vaishnava in the manner already explained in the previous verse is to be considered the residential quarters of venomous serpents. It is said that around the sandalwood tree, which is a very valuable tree, there is a venomous serpent Sandalwood is very cold, and venomous serpents, because of their poisonous teeth, are always very warm, and they take shelter of the sandalwood trees to become cooler. Similarly, there are many rich men who keep watchdog, or doormen are put up signs that say, "Do not enter, trespassers not allowed, beware of the dormer," etc. Sometimes in Western countries, a trespasser is shot, and there is no crime in such shooting. This is the position of the demonic householder, and such houses are considered to be the residential quarters of venomous snakes. The members of such family are no better than the snakes, because snakes are very much envious, and when the envy is directed to the saintly persons, their position becomes more dangerous. It is said by Chanakya Pandita that there are two envious living entities, the snake and the envious man. The envious man is more dangerous than a snake, because a snake can be subdued by charming mantras or by some herbs, but an envious person cannot be pacified by any means.
नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देशकारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण एवरीवन. So now when we before go, we go to the 11th verse, we just see that that we saw in the 10th verse that a person who is not very rich and is attached to the family becomes glorified when saintly persons are present in the home. That means we saw that how a saintly person is to be received in the homes of an ordinary man also. Now on this, if you see the translation starts with the word, with the line, "On the contrary." That means this is the opposite of, like, if a person is not, or if a family, or if a house is not inviting or not hosting a sannyasi or a devotee of the Lord, then what, like, how is it compared, or what is it compared to? It is compared to a venomous serpent. When we go with the very start of the purport, the purport over here is very important, because it tells us how we have to, that each and every devotee has to be welcomed in the house. Now there might, and this specifically works is because when you have all the prosperity, when you have all the opulences, and you have all the ways and means that can help you serve a devotee of the Lord, then you should not miss that opportunity. Because if you lose that opportunity, then there are various examples which are given further, we'll quote, how it affects the life of a person, or how it affects the whole family in general. Now, the very beginning of the verse, we say the word called as Tirtha Padaya, which indicates the devotees of Lord Vishnu or Vaishnava. And as far as Brahmanas are concerned, how they are received so. Now, in this verse, it says that a special stress is given on Vaishnavas. Now, when we see Vaishnava, we have, last time also we have seen that how a Vaishnava is characterized. Like, there are so many characteristics. We saw the difference between a Brahmana and a Vaishnava. We said that a Brahmana may not be a Vaishnava if he is not having the same devotional service, or if he is not having the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But a Vaishnava is always situated in the service of the Lord, and he always knows that the Supreme Personality of God is the only one which he has to serve. So just when he was looking about the characteristic of a Vaishnava, when we see about Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada has always said that the quality, the goodness quality, that is the sattva guna quality, has always to be, we have to have that goodness quality, so that you can raise yourself to the knowledge platform and to the faith in the transcendental service of Godhead. I'll just read where what Srila Prabhupada had written. "To evoke the qualities of goodness, particularly sattva guna, in every member of the league, individually by the process of spiritual initiation, diksha, by establishing him in the status of a qualified brahmana, on the basis of truthfulness, forgiveness, equality, tolerance, education, purity, knowledge, and faith in the transcendental service of Godhead. So this is basically summarized that what the qualities of a Vaishnava should be. And Srila Prabhupada is always, like always has been mentioned about the Brahminical qualities of the goodness. And in the 18.42 in the Bhagavad Gita also, in 18.42 of the Bhagavad Gita, all these qualities are detailedly mentioned. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. So this is what Srila Prabhupada has always guided us to reach to that platform, so that we can serve the Lord and serve the devotees with all the goodness qualities. Also, these qualities of the Vaishnavas are explained also in the 8th chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherein Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that all good qualities become manifest in the body of a Vaishnava, that only by the presence of these good qualities can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. So he says that there are 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. He is very kind to everyone. He does not have any enemy. He is truthful. He is equal to everyone. He does not find fault in anyone. He is mild. He is clean. So there are, like this, there are 26 qualities which are mentioned. And they say, and it is also said that an acharya or a devotee should be respected in every way. He should not have envy in him, over him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.27, there are many verses in which the qualities of a Vaishnava and how we should be receiving the acharyas and the brahmanas is also mentioned. So this was just a quote to just tell about how the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us about the Vaishnava. Now when we say about hosting, or when we say about that how should a Vaishnava be treated, or how should a elevated person be worshipped, be taken into the houses, and they should be taken care of, so that you do not disrespect in them in any way. And we have to be grateful to them, because now when we see, like specifically when we are in the US, we see that all the acharyas and all the spiritual masters, they take so much of trouble to just move around the whole world. We also have seen that Srila Prabhupada, in his whatever time span he had, nearly 14 times he went all over the globe. So the same way our acharyas, our spiritual masters, the other spiritual masters, they are traveling all over the world. They are not doing it for fun. They are not doing it so that they want to see places. They are coming over here only for our betterment, only to bestow the mercy of Krishna upon each and every living being. So whenever such acharyas, whenever such sannyasi prabhus come, we have to see to it that we can attend their classes whenever possible, and we can have them, or we can host them, we can serve them. Now it is not possible every person gets to host the acharyas or the spiritual masters, but whatever service we can render onto them, it can be any small service, but if we get a chance, we should not leave that chance to serve them in any way. Now when the sannyasis are mentioned over here, it mentions the ekadandi sannyasis and the tridandi sannyasis. There are the two types of sannyasis they have mentioned. The ekadandi sannyasis are the general followers of the Shankaracharya and are known as the Mayavadi sannyasis, whereas the tridandi sannyasis are the followers of the Vaishnava acharyas. So this is basically the difference which is given between the two sannyasis. Again, it has been covered into the earlier verses also, so we need not go into that detail about explaining them. The further part which is very important over here is that even when in the 4.22.10, even when a poor person houses the host to be himself and glorious by hosting the saintly person. That means though we are very small compared in front of our spiritual masters, right? So if we get a chance, if we get an opportunity to host them, to serve them, we should not be leaving those opportunities. main what and the second part over here when it is mentioned is about that the Vaishnavas know that the absolute truth is the supreme person and that the Dhamma refulgence is based on the supreme personality of Godhead, which is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14.27. Now the main part over here when you say that we are the Vaishnavas, right? So it is talking about the Brahma effulgence and how we should raise ourselves from the Brahma effulgence. Now, when we say that it is a self-realization, that a person is getting self-realized, basically the difference between when we say that the Brahman realization and the Brahman realization, we'll talk about that first. In that, many of them, like I had heard Kirtida Sundari Mataji's class, in that she had mentioned that when she went for a book distribution, over there they told her that what you are talking about, it is the Brahman realization which is very important and which is very great. So then she asked, like, what after you get the Brahman realization? So basically, Brahman realization is what? It is known that it is again the Supreme Personality of God's effulgence. So they are also on the path of self-realization, but they come up to the path of the Brahman effulgence and they stop there. That means they feel that they can get one into the Lord, they can be one with the Lord, and it is done. But we have to remember that our soul has to be active. The constitutional position of our soul is that we have to be active. And a person always needs to be engaged in some activity, in the spiritual activity. Once we reach the Brahman effulgence, or once we reach the Brahman stage, if we stop at that stage and do not try to perceive the higher goal of life, that is knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what happens is the soul does not have anything to do and it becomes stagnant. And that is not the position of the soul. The position of the soul is that it has to be active. And when you come to the Brahman realization stage, first of all, how do you come to the Brahman realization stage? That is also important, that we going to the Brahman realization stage is also one step towards it. That means when a person starts, like, how did we come to Krishna consciousness? How did we come to the self-realization stages? We are at least on the path of it. We started thinking that what is the purpose of my life? What am I doing in this life? Why did I come in this life? When these thinking process started, we started our journey back to Godhead. So when we start that point, after that bafflement, after that, like, why am I not happy? Like, why is this happiness so temporary? These things led us to think more, and then you start your journey, and then you start the realization process. Once it comes, like in the purport it explains, that when we come to that stage of Brahman realization, a person should not stop at that stage. Because if we stop at that stage, then if we are not getting engaged into any spiritual activity. Because at the Brahman realization stage, if you do not get the thought that I have to be in the service of the Lord, I have to serve the Lord, you get stagnant over there, you do not have any devotional service to do, and chances are that a person will fall back from that stage. That exactly is explained in the verse of 14.27. That in the Bhagavad Gita 14.27, it is explained that if you go to that stage and then you will not have any spiritual activity to do, you will just feel that I am going to be one with the Lord, then if you are going to be one with the Lord, are you going to serve the Lord? No. Is there going to be any spiritual activity? No. That means the soul does not have anything to do. And there are chances that you will fall back from that position. And that is very frustrating, because you will again fall back to the birth, death and disease life cycle. So after that stage, a person has to understand that we do not have to become impersonalist. The exact explanation over here, which is given in the purport, is we do not need to be impersonalist. We have to raise to a platform wherein we can render service to the Lord. It is said that Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, the Sochitina Kamsiti. So that means when we had the realization that now we have reached the Brahman realization. In one of the lectures when I was listening, they said that those who are the Brahman realization people, they are the right people who can go to the further steps. Why? Because they have understood that they are the spirit soul and they do not have any attachment. But what do they do? Like example is given about Sukadev Goswami. When Vyasadeva's wife, Vyasadeva's wife was pregnant, the child did not come out of the womb for 12 months. And then the Lord himself had to come and had to tell the child that it is okay, you are already an elevated soul and you will not be attacked, because the child was scared that when he comes out of the womb, he is going to get attached into the material world. And then there will be again the birth, death, right cycle. But then the Lord has himself to come down and then tell him that you are already an elevated soul. You will not be bound into any of these, energies or any of the mayas. And when Sukadev Goswami, the child is Sukadev Goswami, when Sukadev Goswami came out of the womb, he did not even get attached to anything. He just moved away from his parents. And then again, he was at the Brahman realization stage. And when he met the gurus who were quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam and who were glorifying the Lord, that time he got to a stage where he knew that service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to lead him to the Paramatma realization. So the person who is into the Brahman realized state can definitely go to the further stage of Paramatma realization. Only if he gets to the association of the gurus, or if he gets the association of the sannyasis or the Vaishnavas who are on the path of the Paramatma realization, or who are on the path of the devotional service. Now again, the second example which we have over here is about the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras were also the Brahmavadis initially. And when they went to meet the Lord, when they saw the Lord at the door, when they saw the Lord, we know the story, right? When they were not entered into the heavenly planets, and when the Lord had to come personally, when they saw the form of the Lord, when they could smell the tulsi which was offered to the Lord, they immediately had a change. They knew that devotional service to the Lord was the only way that was the purpose of their life. And then they came to that realization step. So these examples are all quoted into the 14.27, which tells us that why service to the Vaishnavas or service to the sannyasis is so very important. And then next comes that, so what happens when we do not render service, or what is the consequence that if a Vaishnava is not treated properly, or if a Vaishnava is not even allowed to enter your houses? The example which is quoted, or the analogy which is given over here, is of the venomous serpent and your house. That means your house is, you are all well equipped. You have a big house, you have everything, all the ways and means by which a Vaishnava can be hosted in your house. But we are envious of such people. We do not believe in the Lord. We do not want to serve them, or we do not want even our little time to be spent for them. So they are compared to the venomous snake. That means a venomous snake, it needs to be along the cold sandalwood tree, it needs to be coiled around it, and it does not allow anyone to enter into it. Like if any Vaishnava or if any sannyasi tries to come in, they will be envious over it. They will just like a snake who is just emitting poison from his fangs. It's the same way such people will be criticizing the devotees, will be having some sort of problems with the devotees, and they will not allow such devotees to be hosted. Obviously, so many places, right, that the devotees are being troubled. So those people are being compared to the venomous serpents who are envious. And also a very high step is given over here, that those people, that means it is said that Chanakya Pandit, that these two envious living entities, the snake and the envious man, the envious man is more dangerous than the snake. Because a snake can be subdued by the charming mantras. But a human being who is very envious, and once the envious nature enters into the heart, then it is very hard for that person to be raised to a platform wherein he can serve the devotees. So association, like when we are Srila Prabhupada's the last instructions also which he has given, he has also mentioned that association is very important. That means when we are in the association of devotees, we will think like a devotee. It is just like if we are in association of a drunkard, you will feel like to drink. If you are in the association of smokers, you will in no time start smoking. The same way when we had examples quoted in our classes also last time, it is like association is like, suppose there is a room which has fragrant oils in it and you pass that room. When you move out of that room, that fragrance which was there in the room, it will come on your body as well. So a person will know, oh, were you in that fragrant room? Did you pass that room? Or when suppose an incense stick is blown, or when you go to the temple also, when you have the Narsiya Arthis done and the Narsiya oil has been put up on your, and the scent has been pulled up on your hand, you have that fragrant in you. Why? Because you were in that association. At the same time, if we pass from a place where there is all smoking and drunkards there, what will happen? You will also get that smell, you will also get that attitude in you. So association of devotees is very important, and whenever we get chance to host devotees, whenever we get chance to hear from these devotees, we should never leave that chance. One more is quoted from Canto 8, chapter 16, the 6 to 11 verses. It is that when the Yajna was, when the, one second, this is read through it, so that is, yeah, when Kashyap Muni, he went into his, he was into penance and he was doing his tapasya for a long time. And that time what happened was that the demons, they had conquered the heavenly planets. And Aditi, the mother of the demigods, she was very much in pain that how did this happen and why did this happen. So when Kashyap Muni came back, he saw his wife, and what he also, like, there is a in the verse, in the text 6, it says that I wonder whether because of being too attached to the members of your family, you failed to properly receive uninvited guests, who therefore were not welcomed and went away. Homes from which guests go away without having been received, even with an offering of a little water, or are like those holes in the field which are homes of jackals. That means in the fields also we see, if like small holes are there, there might be ants or snakes. But if there are big holes, you should know that they are of jackals. That means thus, if you are not inviting guests, and if a Vaishnava is going from your house without even having a glass of water or any offering you can do not give them, it will certainly be a very it is not a good sign of being a Vaishnava. That means you are not a Vaishnava and you cannot treat a Vaishnava with proper respect. And that is going to be a very, it's an offense to be Vaishnava basically. Now, when I was looking into this, I had some examples to quote.
Mataji, please come closer.
Oh, okay. I'll just increase my volume then. Yeah. Can you hear me now, Mataji?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So Narad Muni was also given us an example. In the verse, it is one time I was listening to a class, the Prabhu says that even Narad Muni, when he was explaining, when he was talking to Vyasadeva, he explains about this part of his life. When in the earlier part of his life, he was born to a maid servant, and after his mother passes away, then he was into the association of all the Bhakti Vedantas. He was serving the devotees, and he was in association of all these sannyasis. And because of that, he, after his mother passes away, he moves from the house, and then he starts on meditating the Lord. And he starts on meditating the Lord within his heart, and the Lord just gives him a glimpse of him. So he says that due to the association of these devotees, I was raised to a platform wherein I could meditate and see the Lord. But that glimpse was there for a very small few seconds. And then the Lord says that in your, because of your past activities, in your next life, you will be into, like, he will get the life of Narad Muni. And so Narad Muni says that because of the association of these devotees, that he could, or because of serving these devotees, he could come to this level of realization and he could get this life. Same is with Dhruv Maharaj. We had Dhruv Maharaj was also instructed by Narad Muni that he has to constantly meditate on the Paramatma who is there in the heart, and he gave them the mantra of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that's the same, like this purport tells us how we have to receive the Vaishnavas and how we should not have the mentality of being like a venomous serpent or of closing our doors for the Vaishnavas and not hosting them. And we should not be, we should try to raise ourselves from the Brahman realization to the Paramatma realization, and this can be possible only if we have the association of the devotees. And if we serve the devotees, only then can they go to the higher stages. The stage of the soul, which we were saying, that if we go to the Brahman realization, what happens? It is just like a man is placed, as Srila Prabhupada quotes, that it is just like a man is placed in an empty room. How long can he be in that empty room? What is he going to do in that empty room? There is nothing to do in that empty room. So eventually he has to come out of it. That is the thing which our soul, though we enter into one realization, that is the how the Mayavadi Sannyasi says that, oh no, we are getting one with the Lord. We cannot be at that stage. We have to have the association of the devotees and then move ourselves ahead so that we can reach. We are just trying. We are just trying over here in this lifetime to reach at a stage wherein we can be in the association of the devotees and the spirit soul can find its journey back to the lotus feet of the Lord and serve the lotus feet of the Lord eternally. So basically this is, I think I'm recording. Yes, Mataji, I think I have covered up this topic. It's a small, the purport is big, but then the essence was that we have to serve the Vaishnavas and we have to see that the traveling sannyasis who are traveling all, like they are, yeah, the Vaishnava sannyasis travel all over the world to make every place a place of pilgrimage by the touch of their lotus feet. So this is again one point which I had to explain is that when sannyasis or when the Prabhus or when any Vaishnavas, when they come to your place for preaching, you shouldn't be always taking it as a burden. Because when they are coming only by the touch of their lotus feet also, the house is being transformed. We always see that so many in ISKCON, we see when we have so many acharyas who are traveling, there's so many ready to host them. So when they host them, there's always that the feet is washed and then they are served prasadam. So whichever service we get over there, we should try to render our service to them. Because these Vaishnavas, these sannyasis, these spiritual masters are taking all the pain for only for us. So that the mercy of Lord Krishna can be spread to everyone and we all can be Krishna consciousness in each and every way. I really feel like when our spiritual masters come, they travel so much and the way they travel is from one city to another and their day is packed up in such a way that it is each and every part of their day is packed up. They do not have any time for any mundane activity. It's always either Mangal Arati, either a class, in the morning class, evening class. So they are doing so much for us. So I think we only rendering some service for them will be a small service from us. And we can try to follow Srila Prabhupada and become into the mode of goodness by at least serving these Vaishnavas in whatever way we can. So, Mataji, if anybody has any more additions, please go ahead, or any corrections also.
Mm.
Hare Krishna.
Priti Mataji, thank you very much for the very, very beautiful class, very nicely covered. Mataji, I had only one question. People like Shukadev Goswami and the four Kumaras, after their transformation, they moved on to the platform of Bhagavan realization, right? From Brahman they moved on to Bhagavan, right? But why were you mentioning Paramatma? Is there any reason for that, Mataji?
Okay.
Or did I get it wrong?
Say that they did not understanding Paramatma in the path of spiritual realization. They realize the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and so basically, Mataji, what you are asking is that they went to the.
When the transformation happened for both Shukadev Goswami and four Kumaras, right? Kumaras, they smell the lotus feet of the Tulasi from the lotus feet of the Lord, and Shukadev Goswami, he heard about the very nice mercy of Krishna on Putana and all that. When they did that, they became devotees. That is right. But why specifically Paramatma was mentioned? That is the question. I mean, I was thinking if they are devotees, they had to have the Bhagavan realization from Brahman. Or maybe I heard it wrong. I don't know.
They had the Brahman realization, Mataji.
They were at the Brahman realization.
And then they went on to the Paramatma realization. If I heard the class right, or maybe I heard it wrong in that.
Okay, that was the question, Mataji, why they went to Paramatma realization instead of Bhagavan realization. Maybe it's a, I don't know.
Yeah, I do not have anything written about that.
Okay, Mataji. No problem, Mataji. I was just thinking about it. That's all. I just wanted to ask. Thank you so much, Sita Priti Mataji. The class was really beautiful. You covered all the points on the purport in great detail, referring from so many places. It was a very wonderful class. Lot of effort put in, Mataji.
I'll look into this and again let you know, Mataji, okay? Sure.
I was just, thinking about
it. I'll go over the class again and I'll just see if I missed out.
Sure. No problem. Thank you very much, Mataji. The class was really beautiful.
Hare Krishna, Sita Mataji, very nice class. Very cover all these points, so many. And I also like to hear the point that Ma Patila Sri Mataji has said. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Please give your association regularly. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Sita Priti Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. It was a very important point you were mentioning in the class. Thank you so much, Mataji. So interesting.
Thank you, Mataji. Please forgive for any offenses or if I have forgot any point.
Hare Krishna, Sita Priti Gopi, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Very excellent class, Mataji. Like we just hear, like Vilasini Gopi told that you cover all the points. And it's practical, Mataji, that how we have to behave with the Vaishnava. And Mataji, it's very excellent class. Thank you very much for your association. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Sing for us whatever you like to sing, Mataji.
Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Divya Chintamani Dhamma ratana mandira mano hara vrindavana ramya sthana divya chinta mani dhama matana mandira mano hara amrita kalini nire raja केली कोरे ताहे शोभे कनक कामाला वृंदावन रम्या स्थान दिव्य चिंता मणि धाम रतन मंदिर मनोहारा। हरे कृष्ण माता जी।
Hare Krishna Mataji, very very beautiful class Mataji and very nice singing Mataji, your voice is so sweet and after hearing your class, I think they will simply go away because they have to bear with me.
No, Mataji. Thank you so much Mataji for giving this opportunity and I know like I might have not covered up everything, but please forgive me for any mistakes. And I'll try to find that question. It is haunting me. I'll try to go over that class again and find it. What exactly what I had.
Thank you, Mataji. Very, very wonderful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kumadik Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dharma Pranam, all graces to Srila Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Beautiful, beautiful class Mataji and beautiful singing. Thank you so much. You made our day. Thank you.
Thank you Mataji. Hare Krishna. Should we end the class Mataji?
Yes Mataji. Yes, Mataji, we can start, but please give me your blessings and I bow down to your lotus feet. Vancha kalpatarubhyesha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Ki
jai. Thank you very much, Sita Priti Mataji, for the very nectarian class. So, we go for our Vrajamandal Parikrama today. And today is our seventh day, and seventh day is the Govardhan Parikrama. So please bless me so I can. Convey the message of His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj to you. So, the length and breadth of Govardhan Hill in Goloka Vrindavan exceeds the boundaries of the mundane imagination. One of Govardhan's name is Sat Shringa. He who is crowded with a 100 pigs. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Govinda Lilamrut says that Govardhan resembles a peacock. Radhakund and Shyam Kunda are the peacock's eyes and Punchiri is its tail. Raghunath Das Goswami calls Govardhan Hill the tilak mark on the forehead of Raja. Shri Krishna was getting ready to appear on earth. He asked Srimati Radharani to go a little ahead for him. she replied that she could not be happy in place where there is no Vrindavan, Yamuna or Govardhan Hill. So the Lord manifested a portion of Goloka Vrindavan on earth. Govardhan Hill, however, did not appear in Vraja immediately. Instead, he appeared as the son of Mount Drona to the West Bharat Varsha in Shalmali Deep. So, we know all the story of Govardhan. Every year for Govardhan Puja, we hear that because of Pulasya Rishi, how he came to Vrindavan. But I will read the small portion of that. When Lord Ramachandra ordered the bridge to build to Lanka, rocks and stones were brought from many places to construct it. Hanuman used his extraordinary strength to uproot entire mountain and carry them to Rameshwaram. Suddenly he heard a voice from the sky announcing that the bridge was complete and no more rocks were required. Govardhan was disappointed because he had been denied opportunity to touch by Lord's lotus feet. He wanted to curse Hanuman for depriving him of the opportunity, but Hanuman assured him that in the next Dwapar Yuga, when the Lord would appear as the son of Maharaj Nanda, his desire would be fulfilled. Krishna would not only touch him with his lotus feet playing on his rocks and herding cows on his slopes, but he would pick him up and his lotus hand and hold him for 7 days on the nails of his little finger. This would happen, Hanuman said, when Indra tried to destroy the Vraja. So now we will circumambulate Govardhan Hill. It's 23 kilometers of parikrama, and there is another outer parikrama of Govardhan Hill that is nearby twice as long and covered pastimes places that are further from the hill. Srila Sanatan Goswami did this outer parikrama daily as part of his sadhana. After Nanda Maharaja and Vrajavasis performed the very first Govardhan Puja, they also did parikrama along with Krishna and Balaram. Even now there are people who perform Govardhan parikrama every day. On the occasion of a full moon or new moon, the number of pilgrims increases as it is an auspicious day. So on that parikrama marg is come is Kusum Sarovar. Kusum means flower. This lake is one of the most spectacular in Vraja. Its clear green water invites us to invigorate our minds with the enthusiasm and continue to walk on around Govardhan. The noble architect of the temple overlooks the lake. The building is a relic of perfect Vedic construction, symmetrical and majestic. There is a kunja on the southern bank of Kusum Sarovar called Ashok Lata. Here Krishna braided Srimati Radharani's hair. Behind Ashok Lata is a small temple where deity of Uddhava is worshipped. This place is known as Uddhava Baithak. Krishna sent Uddhava to convey a message to the gopis, and we will visit the place where Uddhava delivered that message to the 17th day of our parikrama. Uddhava becomes so overwhelmed by the intensity of gopis' love that he prayed to become a creeper or clump of grass in Braja so he could receive on his head a dust of their lotus feet. Uddhava's desire was fulfilled and he leaves the here at Kusum Sarovar as a clump of grass. So the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya narrates an extraordinary pastime that took place after Uddhava became a clump of grass here. Once after the departure of Krishna and the Yadus, the Lord's queens were advised by their co-wife Kalindi to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Uddhava in order to mitigate their intense feeling of separation from their Lord. Kalindi, who is Yamuna Devi, explained how when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura, the gopis had also suffering by hearing from the Lord's cousin and intimate friend. So the queens, accompanied by Vajranabh and Parikshit Maharaj, came to Kusum Sarovar to search of Uddhava, aware that he was living there as grass. On arriving, they began to glorify Lord with veenas, mridangas and other instruments. Finally, as the kirtan built of to climax, Uddhava appeared in his original form and joined in the singing and dancing. For some time, everyone present forgot themselves, merged in the ocean of bliss and chanting the holy name with great ecstasy. Then they sat down to hear Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Uddhava, So next comes is the Narada Kunda. We walked about half a kilometer down a side road of Naradvan. This is the small forest where Narad Muni wrote the Narad Bhakti Sutra. The Bhakti Ratnakar mentioned that he also performed austerities here on Vrinda Devi's instruction. Narad Muni had a strong desire to see the conjugal pastime of Radha and Krishna at Radhakund, but he had a male body, so was unable to enter the area where their pastimes were taking place. The only male is conjugal rasa is Krishna. One day, this exalted sage revealed his mind to Vrinda Devi, who devised him to live in Braja and perform austerity. This order was Vrinda Devi's blessing, and by it Narada attained a suitable form in which he could fulfill his cherished desire. Vrinda Devi took Narada to Kusum Sarovar and told him to dip into water. When he emerged, he was Naradi Gopi. There is a kunda here called Narada Kunda. The small nearby temple is home to deity of Narada Muni, and we respectfully bow down to his lotus feet. Anyone who trusts this instructions spoken by Narada and convinced by them will be blessed with devotion and attain the most dear Lord. So next comes the Shyamavan and Ratna Simhasan. So we head toward Govardhan town, passing Shyamavan on our right. There is a mention of Ratna Simhasan, a jewel throne on which Radharani would sit while enjoying her pastimes in this forest. The Bhakti Ratnakar says that Krishna killed the Shankhachur demon when the demon was trying to kidnap the gopis. The Lord then took the valuable jewel which resembled a conch from his head and presented to Lord Balaram. Shankhachuda is an expansion of Sri Rama, Srimati Radharani's brother. And of course, there is a story behind all this according to Garga Samhita. An event took place in spiritual world that involved cursing and counter-cursing between these transcendental siblings. This results in Sri Rama appeared as Shankhachud and Srimati Radharani having to suffer a 100 years of separation from her beloved Krishna after he left Vrindavan. Eventually, Shankhachud regained his original position after being killed by Lord. Shyamavan is also the place where Govardhan Hill starts to become visible. In between Shyamavan and Radhakunda, Giriraj has already gone underground. Perhaps Shyamavan is the place where Lord Chaitanya had darshan of Giriraj as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya saw Govardhan Hill, he immediately offered obeisances, falling down on the ground like rod. He embraced one piece of rock from Govardhan Hill and became mad. As we walk, the darkness dissipates, soon bristling street of Govardhan town. Next comes Manasi Ganga. After Krishna killed Vatsasura, his friend teased him about having committed the sin of killing calf, and they advise him to atone by bathing in Ganga. Of course, we know the Supreme Lord can never be contaminated by anything he does. And cowherd boys knew that too. But for their pleasure, Krishna manifested the Ganga from his mind and then bathed in her water, hence this place known as Manasi Ganga. And deep pastimes took place on Deepavali, the day preceding Govardhan Puja. On that day, Manasi Ganga will be decorated with the shining lamps. Thousands of pilgrims, when Narada Nanda Maharaja wanted to go on pilgrimage to Ganga, Krishna advised him to bathe here instead. This sweet, pleasant water were also the stage of Krishna's delightful boat pastimes. Manasi Ganga was at one time quite a large lake. Once Srimati Radharani and the gopis came to the Manasi Ganga with their pots of yogurt and other milk preparations, hoping to cross. Krishna disguised himself as a boatman and offered to take them across in a boat made of palash leaves. Offering, spreading our leaves, spreading out leaves, he had us get into boat, comforting us with the helpful words, "I will get you across the river." When they reach the middle of the river, he asked us for toll. Having kept the boat steady, did he not make unsteady for by moving it crookedly? The toll Krishna asked the gopis to pay was all their milk products. If they didn't feed him, he explained, he wouldn't have the strength to go further. The Lord then ate everything they had. Afterward, he lay down to take a nap, asking the gopis to massage his arms and legs. They replied that they would throw him overboard if he didn't start rowing immediately. Krishna rowed for some time and then again stopped. This time he claimed the boat was sinking because it was too heavy. He convinced them to throw all their jewelry and yogurt pots overboard. Soon after, by the Lord's desire, a storm arrived and he started rowing the boat. Srimati Radharani became so frightened and she put her arm around the boatman. At that moment, she realized he was none other than her beloved Shyamasundar. So next comes Haridev temple. Haridev, the replicant dark complexion lifter of Govardhan Hill, smiles compassionately upon the devotees who prostrate themselves at his lotus feet. Haridev is one of the four principal deities of Praja. The original Haridev deity was installed by Vajjanab, but later moved to Rajasthani during Aurangzeb's attack. His Pratibha form is now worshipped in this temple. Next comes Brahmakunda. The glories of Brahmakunda at Govardhan are described in Mathura Kand as follows. After taking bath in this kunda, Lord Brahma satisfied Sri Krishna. At that time, demigods headed by Indra created other lakes nearby. Brahmakunda is next to Manasi Ganga. Just a little further down the same alleyway, we enter on our way to Haridev temple. After Lord Chaitanya danced ecstasy in front of Haridev, he decided to stay at the temple for night. Balabhadra Bhattacharya cooked his lunch at Brahmakunda. Mahaprabhu then bathed in the kunda and honored prasad there. The following day, the Lord began his Govardhan parikrama. Barely continued his ecstasy, Mahaprabhu constantly recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.18. हंताय मद्रिय बदा हरिदास वर्यो यद्राम कृष्ण चरण स्पर्श प्रमोदा मानं तनोति सह गोगण योस्तयोर्यात् पाणीय सूय वसकंदर कंदमूले of all the devotees, the Govardhan hill is the best. Oh my prince, his hill supplies Krishna Paramama as well their cows and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities. Water of drinking, very soft grass, calves, caves, fruits, flowers and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan hill appears very jubilant. Govardhan hill is both non-different from Lord and his topmost devotee. Srila Prabhupada writes, the identity of Krishna and Govardhan hill is still honored, and great devotees take rocks from Govardhan hill and worship them exactly as they worship the deity of Krishna in temples. Next comes Danaghati. Danaghati, the place where the taxes were collected. While on their way to Govindakunda for Yajna, the gopis were stopped by Krishna and his cowherd friends, who demanded a toll for all the milk products they were carrying for the sacrifice. A peaceful exchange endures. Krishna said, O delicate girl, I am shackled by the order of the forest king, whose orders may not be disobeyed. By his order, I do this cruel work of collecting tolls. I am not independent. What can I do? Then Vishakha said, are you ordered by Kamsa? Krishna says, no, no. Vishakha says, by whom then? Krishna says, by the person whose sidelong glance makes Kamsa and a host of other trembles, by he who bears the name Kamadeva. Lalita says, ha, I never heard of any king who bears the name Kamadeva. The Parikrama route doesn't follow the Mathura road, so we'll go by the way which turns on Lakshmi Narayan temple. So as we continue walking, someone pointed two villages to our far left, Parasauli, and about 2 kilometers southern of Govardhan town, and Petha, another 3 kilometers. Nowadays, Parasauli is known as Muhammadpura. Here Krishna and gopis perform their spring ras lila. One can also see Chandra Sarovar, where the Lord took rest, and where the bhajan kutir and samadhi of Vaishnava poet Surdas are located. Petha is the place where Krishna suddenly disappeared during the ras dance, and where, desiring to play a joke on gopis, he showed them his four-arm Narayan form. While searching for him, the young girls came on the bush next to which he sat, but they couldn't recognize their Krishna in him. Instead, they offered their humble obeisances and inquired respectfully where they could find the son of Nanda Maharaja. A few moments later, Srimati Radharani appeared. In front of Srimati Radharani, Sri Krishna had to hide the two extra arms. He tried his best to keep four arms before her, but he was unable to do so. So this is potency of Srimati Radharani. Govardhan Shila dance in sunbeams, and we are inspired to interspare our chanting. When Srila Prabhupada took his disciple to Govardhan to on pilgrimage, he warned them not to touch the hill with their feet or to take any Shila Shila taken from here to be worshipped outside Vraja when have to receive from the hands of Vaishnava, and only after the inspiring worshipper receives his or her spiritual master's permission. The soft parikrama path winds its way through several small temples, each glorifying its unique deity. The many villages and kundas on the way let us live for a moment in remembrance of Krishna pastimes. We will hear more about the pastimes when we visit Kamyavan and next come Aniyora. After walking and chanting for another 2 kilometers, we arrive at village Aniyora. This is where Annakut ceremony of first Govardhan Puja was celebrated by Nanda Maharaja and the Vrajavasis. When Nanda Maharaja had prepared to worship Lord Indra, Krishna convinced him to use all the preparations to worship Govardhan and the cows and Brahmanas. Following Krishna's detailed instructions, the Vrajavasis made phenomenal quantities of tasty preparations. Mountains of puris, laddus and other sweets, huge pots of vegetable preparations and lakes of sweet rice, yogurt and other milk preparations, and offered everything to Giriraj. At that time, Krishna assumed a gigantic form that was separately constituted, declaring himself to be not different from Govardhan Hill. He began to eat everything. Krishna then assumed an unprecedented huge form, instilled faith in the cowherd men, declaring, "I am Govardhan Mountain." He ate the abundant offering, and the voice Govardhan Hill resounded in the sky. "Aniyor, Aniyor, bring me more." For this reason, this place is called Aniyor. The celebration of Govardhan Puja is a great festival, not only here but all over Vraja. In remembrance of this pastime, mounds of grain are prepared and freed distributed. Just ninth day from now, we are sitting in a circle of Gaur Nitai Gaurasundar in a steady group. So next come Govinda Kunda. Walking on about 400 meters ahead is Govinda Kunda, formed when Indra bathed Krishna with milk, Ganges water, Tulasi Manjiris and lotus flowers after Krishna had set down Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Puja took place on the new moon day in the month of Kartik. The next day was Yamaditya. So all Vaishnavas go to Vishram Ghat in Mathura. So in Garga Samhita says, O King, 4,100 years after the beginning of Kali Yuga, as everyone watches, Lord Krishna will emerge from a cave on Govardhan Hill and reveal his transcendental form at Shringar Mandal. Saintly devotees will call this form of Lord Srinath. He will always enjoy pastimes on Govardhan Hill. The people in Kali Yuga who see this form of Lord will attain all spiritual success. So, by the causeless mercy of Srila Madhavendra Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grand spiritual master, this prediction has come to pass. When Madhavendra Puri visited this place, he bathed in Govinda Kunda and, overwhelmed with ecstatic emotion, sat under the nearby tree to rest. This exalted devotee was hardly eating or drinking. Out of love for his devotee, Lord appeared as young cowherd boy, brought him a pot of milk, saying, "No one fasts in my village." He told Madhavendra Puri he would return later to retrieve the pot. Madhavendra Puri was completely captivated by the charming looks and sweet voice of this young boy, and he waited a long time for him to return. But the boy never came back. As time passed, Madhavendra Puri grew more and more anxious. He couldn't sleep, so he stayed up all night chanting the holy names. Towards the end of the night, he dozed off a little, and suddenly that all attractive cowherd boy appeared again, but this time in a dream. The Lord took his hand and led him toward a bush. He said, "I reside in this bush, and because of this I suffer very much from severe cold, rain showers, winds and scorching heat. My name is Gopala. I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. I was installed by Vajra, and here I am the authority. When the Muslims attacked, the priest who was serving me hid me in this bush and in the jungle. Then he ran away out of fear of attack." Madhavendra Puri was instructed to take Gopala out of bush. With the help of villagers, and construct a temple for him on the hilltop. When Madhavendra Puri woke, he felt great separation from Gopala. Eventually, he regains his composure and did as the Lord had asked. Should I read ahead or not? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Please continue, Mataji.
Okay. And occasional John picks the foot, a remember of gopis, constant concern of Krishna's soft lotus feet as he won over Vrajabhumi. Pretty butterflies of all colors flit in between bushes and blooms with dedicated yellow flowers. So next comes Punjrika Lautha Baba. The southernmost tip of Govardhan is guarded by Lotha Baba. Krishna's large, well-built friend, and who is still waiting for the Lord to return from Mathura. As he promised he would, Lotha Baba had so much faith that Krishna would return that to this day, and he remains fixed to see the Lord as waits here patiently. We pray to him for a pinch of his enthusiasm, determination and patience in the instructions of Guru and Gauranga. Lotha Baba carries a stick, lathi, to herd the cows. It is said that when Krishna was lifting over the hill, Lotha Baba helped support the hill with his stick, as some of the other cowherd men also did. But since Lotha was much stouter than the Lord, he thought he was in fact holding the hill, not Krishna. Understanding his friend's thoughts, Krishna smiled and withdrew some of his support. Lotha Baba immediately understood his helpless position and begged the Lord to resume his task. As we stand here, the devotees are told about place as a Sham Dhaka, which is about 2 kilometers west of Punjiri. In this small forest, the trees have leaves shaped like cups. And when Krishna and the cowherd boys sat here to enjoy their lunch, they needed additional leaf cups. And the trees here supplied an unlimited number of them. When next comes Raghav Pandit Guha, we retrace our steps to the interior Parikrama path and walk further, entering Sutal Van. In this forest is Sutal Kunda, and next to it is the Srinathji temple. We go around the Srinathji temple to see Raghav Pandit's cave, where he did his bhajan and where Radha and Krishna previously enjoyed pastime. It is only possible to go up to the entrance to the of the cave, as the inner part is now sealed off. Raghav Pandit was a close associate of Lord Chaitanya. He is a Champaklata Sakhi in Radha Krishna's pastime. The fifth chapter of Bhakti Ratnakar tells how he took Narottam Das Thakur and Srivas Acharya on Vrajamandal Parikrama. So next comes Kadambavan. Here we take the opportunity to roll in the dust, because it's said that by doing so one will easily achieve Krishna Prema. There are three kundas in this forest, all to the left and of the Parikrama path and not far from another. They are Indra Kunda, Surbhi Kunda and Airavata Kunda. It's said that Indra Kunda was formed by the tears of Indra when he fell at Krishna's lotus feet and regret his offenses. Surabhi Kunda marks the place where Surabhi played on Indra's behalf and offered the Lord nice prayers. Airavata Kunda was form when Airavata, Indra's elephant carrier, joined in Abhishek and bathed Krishna with Ganges water. Next, Jatipur. Leaving Kadamba one, we next come to Jatipur. Yati means sannyasi and Pur means town. This place was named after Srila Madhavendra Puri, who was sannyasi and spent time here. Mukharavinda. Next is Mukharavinda. Mukharavinda is the middle of the Jatipur village and next to Govardhan Hill. The followers of Vallabhacharya consider this place to be Giriraja's lotus mouth. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, however, Giriraja's lotus mouth is near Radha Kunda and Sham Kunda. Everyday pilgrims pour hundreds of liters of milk on Govardhan here. Next is Sakhi Sthali. Not long after we passed through Sakhi Sthali, Chandravali lived here with her husband, Govardhan Mala, who was a close friend of Srimati Radharani's husband Abhimanyu. Chandravali would also meet Krishna here. She is considered Srimati Radharani's transcendental competitor. There is a kunda here called Sakhi Kunda, which is said to have been created by Chandravali's 64 Sakhi. Next is Uddhav Kunda. This is where, after realizing the relaxed nature of Gopi's love of Krishna, Uddhava prayed to live eternally in Vraja as a clump of grass. Kusum Sarovar and Uddhav Baithak are just across the hill from where we stand, the old Radha Uddhav Bihari deities, which used to preside here, have been replaced by newer deities. We are now about 4 kilometers from Radha Kunda. There was a time when Govardhan Hill stretched all the way to Radha Kunda and Sham Kunda. Krishna would come here from Nandagram with a cows, or dance with gopis, or play with his friends, and he would have a lot of fun in this area. It is scenic spot. As we leave Uddhav Kunda and cross the canal, we notice to our right a massive Orion style temple dedicated to Lord Chaitanya. Inside, the deity is very tall and quite beautiful. Next is Radha Kunja Bihari Gaudiya Math. We are heading to Radha Kunda now. And then and long last, we behold the splendid Radha Kunda. Although the devotees are tired, and their feet sore, they dance in jubilation. Offering our respectful obeisances to Radha Kunda and Sham Kunda, we walked around them and returned to our initial starting point. So thank you very much. We have done the parikrama of day 7 and it's almost 9 o'clock now. So I don't think we should go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Shama Guru Devya Siddhant Pranam. Thank you very much. Siddhant Pranam.
Ki Jai. Yes, Mataji, we finished our Govardhan Parikrama today. And tomorrow we will be doing Radha Kunda Parikrama.
श्री गोवर्धन परिक्रमा की
जय।
जय। थैंक यू माताजी।
थैंक यू सो मच माताजी।
Yeah, thank you, Mataji, for patiently listening. I think if you would have done this, yeah, it would have been much better. But thank you for bearing with me.
Thank you, Shyama Gauri Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. So, should we end now? वञ्चा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनन्तकोटिवैष्णववृन्दकी जय श्री श्री गोवर्धन परिक्रमा की जय वृन्दावन धाम की जय राधा कुंड श्याम कुंड की जय थैंक यू वेरी मच
श्याम गौरी
शील प्रभुपाद की जय
माता जी की जय। थैंक यू माता जी। हरे कृष्णा।